Answering Mormons Questions by Bill McKeever and Eric Johnson deals with 36 commonly asked questions by your LDS friends and neighbors. It's a great resource for Christians who want to share their faith with friends and loved ones. Be sure to pick up your copy today at your favorite Christian bookstore. Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. With me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. Yesterday, we were discussing the anticipation at the 185th Semiannual General Conference held by The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints in downtown Salt Lake City on October 3rd and 4th, 2015. That anticipation was based in the choosing of three new Mormon apostles who were to replace L. Tom Perry, who died on May 30th, Boyd K. Packer, who died on July 3rd, and Richard G. Scott, who passed away on September 22nd. Some were wondering, are they going to replace all three of these men or just two of them? Because Richard G. Scott did pass away relatively late on September 22nd, but they in fact did choose three new men to fulfill those positions. There was no doubt a lot of excitement. In fact, Eric, you were downtown, I was downtown, and we did see a lot of people looking for tickets to get into that session, hopefully to hear who was going to be chosen to fill those spots. And there was something that you had mentioned to me about when you and Randy were downtown, you were standing on one of the corners across from the conference center, and Randy was talking about the possibility of maybe, just maybe, a Hispanic being chosen to fill one of those vacancies.
Yeah, when he saw Hispanic folks walking by, he would say, hey, guess what? We think somebody who's Hispanic will be chosen to become an apostle of the church. And we would get people looking at us and smiles. But this one gentleman we were talking with stood with us, and we said that to him. And he got excited and all of a sudden started jumping up and down, I'll never forget, and couldn't believe that the possibility of having somebody who was of his heritage would be part of the apostles. Well, this is supposed to be a worldwide church, and yet all of the leaders in the upper echelon are all Anglo-Saxon, mainly from United States. We do have one German, but for the most part, it seems like maybe what we call a good old boy network, and it seems like it's been hard for anybody to crack that from other nations who have any kind of color, whether Asian or African or Latin American. You have these different cultures here. I think it would probably embolden the people of those communities if they were to ever do that. Imagine what would happen, just like with what happened with the Pope. When they announced him, Latin America went crazy and has become a very popular Pope there. And the religion has grown. The Catholic religion has grown in that area. And I'm personally glad that they haven't, because I think they missed an opportunity to make themselves relevant in the 21st global century.
Now, you used a phrase, missed an opportunity. And that's what takes us to this blog article that we're going to be discussing today that was written by Jana Reese. And we have talked about some of the things that Jana Reese has written in the past. But one thing she brings out that you cannot mistake is, even though there was a lot of excitement about the filling of these three vacancies, there was also some disappointment that followed because of the very fact that you mentioned three white guys, all from Utah, and all lifelong members in the church.
Very traditional picks.
Very traditional picks. And so she starts off her blog piece by quoting two black female members who are known in Mormon circles as the Sistas in Zion. And this is what they had tweeted, and this is how Jana Reese starts off her article.
Can't lie, I thought there'd be at least one new brown apostle, Hispanic, Polynesian, Asian, somebody. Disappointed, but not disaffected.
Disappointed, but not disaffected is how Jana Reese responds as well. And I wonder how many other Latter-day Saints probably responded that same way. But then she goes on to talk about that phrase, disappointed, but not disaffected.
Disappointed, but not disaffected sums it up for me too. I will sustain these apostles, and all three of them seem perfectly qualified to fill their new posts. I enjoyed hearing them talk over the weekend. Yesterday's sermon by Elder Dale G. Renlund in particular affected me. It was beautiful and powerful. But I was also sad for what could have been, for a missed opportunity. I wrote on this blog on Friday that in filling the spots for three apostles, Mormonism had the chance to demonstrate that this is a global church that happened to begin in America and not an American church. 3 days later, we are still an almost entirely American-led church.
And she goes on to give some statistics in this blog piece that I think are worthy of note. She says, consider the numbers. The LDS Church had 15,372,337 members as of April 2015. Nearly 1.3 million of them are in Brazil alone, and more than 1.3 million live in Mexico. Other nations with LDS populations exceeding 500,000 include Peru, the Philippines, and Chile. Now, we had talked about this on a previous show when we were surmising as to who could possibly be chosen to fill these vacancies. One of the men that we mentioned was Claudio Costa, who happens to be from Brazil.
Yeah, Claudio R.M. Costa is of the First Quorum of the 70, so he's qualified in that sense because many of the apostles come from that. And he's been around a while, but proven to be very faithful. Brazilian, over 1 million Brazilians are part of the Mormon Church. I think they would have just gone nuts to have picked a guy like that. Maybe he's a little old. He's 66 on the older end, but still not as old as could be. But that's somebody they decided to pass over.
One thing I seem to find when it comes to a pattern that is usually found in how they choose new apostles is they certainly are looking for someone that is going to be loyal to the system, and we had mentioned that in yesterday's broadcast. The fact is, folks, and Jana Reese brings this out, that all of the leadership are certainly white. It is still a white man's leadership in the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
In fact, she says, but all of our 12 apostles are white, our 9 female auxiliary leaders are white, and most of the members of the 70 are white. And while the statistics in this excellent Salt Lake Tribune article demonstrate that more international diversity is now entering the ranks, in 2013, only 66% of all general authorities were born in the United States. That demographic change hasn't yet trickled up to the 12.
Now, she goes on to cite a common response that you would probably hear from faithful Latter-day Saints when
right.
it comes to how these men are chosen.
Yeah, she says, one of the blog comments on Friday was that, quote, God chooses the new apostles and reveals his choice to his living oracles, end quote. My expressed desire for racial diversity was, quote unquote, irrelevant since, quote, God has prepared whom he has prepared and they will be called, end quote. But it's not that simple. I do not believe that apostolic callings happen so very differently and miraculously than other callings occur in the church. It is a combination of divine inspiration and human agency working together that makes a calling happen. When we issue callings in the church, we do so under the guidance of prayer and the Spirit's leading, but our experiences and inclinations factor in as well.
Let me just stop you there, Eric, because could it be that this is a situation where the Mormon Church really can't win? I mean, if they chose 3 more white guys, they're going to be accused of not being that diverse. If they were to choose someone of color, then some might say, well, they were just being politically correct. And it's been decades since the 1978 priesthood revelation allowing all worthy male members to come in and hold the priesthood. And so they couldn't even win in that area, too.
I think you're bringing out a really good point. For instance, if they wanted to appoint a black man, probably the best candidate is Joseph W. Sitati of Kenya, and she mentions him in this article and says, what would it have been like to have an apostle like Elder Joseph W. Sitati of Kenya, a nation which has only about 12,000 members of the LDS Church? What that could mean is having an apostle who is not the product of generations of Mormonism, a proud descendant of pioneer stock. What it would mean is that he would be a pioneer himself. But what you're saying, I think, is accurate, because if they put him in there, then people are going to wonder, why did they put him in there? Is it more for a political situation? But I'm sure they would have gotten accused of sticking him in as a figurehead.
But yet, look at how long it's been since the priesthood revelation. 1978. We're talking decades. And still, there has not been any real significant changes, even among the lower ranks for black members.
And think about this. More than half of all Latter-day Saints are outside the United States. But that is not reflected in the leadership of the Apostles and First Presidency.
She goes on to say, currently the only apostle in the quorum who was not born into the church is Dieter F. Uchtdorf, who is also the quorum's only non-American. Now, let's make it clear. It's not that the Mormon Church has any kind of questions about whether or not they're really Americans. That can be proven because John Taylor was the third president of the Mormon Church, and he was born in England. So it's not that. But still, it goes back to this whole Anglo issue. They are white, and they are usually men who certainly have a long history with the Mormon Church and have proven themselves worthy, or I should say loyal, to the system. They are not looking for anybody to rock the boat, that's for sure.
And this might not be finished because Thomas Monson was not looking so good at the General Conference, and his health is in question. Also, the top four leaders are in their 80s and 90s. Russell M. Nelson is 91. For him to take over the church, he would not have very long if he were to take over if Monson were to die. So I think you're going to see some more opportunities the church is going to have to remedy this for people like Janet Reese. I don't know if they're going to, but this obviously in this October 2015 conference, they played safe with it.
Janet Reese finishes her block by saying, I would love to see more apostles who represent the diversity of the broader LDS church. Some of those will continue to be white, Utah-born, upper-middle-class American professionals. And I pray that one day the quorum will also include people who are converts themselves from every corner of the globe, bringing with them a wider range of experiences, expertise, and concerns. If we are striving to be the Lord's church, then our leadership will mirror the diversity of the Lord's people. No doubt, a lot of other Latter-day Saints share Jana Reese's concerns. When that is going to change is anybody's guess.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, known as the Mormon Church, is a huge topic of interest among many Bible-believing Christians who want to reach their LDS loved ones or friends with the biblical message of hope and grace. If you're a Christian who wants to be better informed about the beliefs of the Mormon people, Mormonism Research Ministry wants to be a resource for you. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has worked hard to clearly articulate Mormon doctrine and history in order to better understand the issues that separate Mormonism from the Christian faith. At MRM.org, we have links to an active blog site, as well as dozens of articles and videos that will help educate you on this fascinating topic. Should your church need a live presentation, we can do that too. Contact MRM to schedule one of our PowerPoint presentations at MRM.org or call our office at 801-572-2153. That's 801-572-2153. Let MRM help you become a confident ambassador for Christ.